and you're going to want to come out to the BN Share Space at 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. for a meet and greet with gubernatorial candidate Republican Jesse Sullivan. He's in studio with us. Jesse, how you doing today?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming in. Oh, this is super exciting. He's got the nice tie, the nice suit, and he's got his team here. And this is so fun. First, let's just talk about you as a candidate and why you wanted to do this in the first place, because it's a tough thing to get into politics right now because of how divisive it is. And we were talking a little bit about a very skeptical Republican voter. And how are you going to get this Republican voter? Why would you even get into something like this in the first place?
Yeah, well, I'm a political outsider, and I really want to join with my fellow patriots to save our home that we love. And I'm a fifth generation Illinoisan, grew up about an hour southwest of here in Petersburg, Illinois. So Lincoln's New Salem, one of eight kids, grew up working on a farm, learned these values of faith, family, and service. And my Christian faith drives my entire life. And my wife and I, you know, have five children. We're raising them the way that I was raised, running around the cornfields of central Illinois. And really, you know, the service side sent me around the world to do counterinsurgency work as a civilian intelligence analyst over in Afghanistan. I also, realized if I want to help people in need, it's about creating jobs, growing the economy. So that's the work I've been doing for the last 6 years. And as I was doing it, started to have some good success. And I looked around me and felt like, man, I love my home. But these terrible politicians are taking everything I love about it and driving it into the ground. And what's my obligation? So after a lot of prayers, went to my wife and said, hey, I think we should move into politics, run for governor. And she said, oh, no, please, anything but that. And but she's the director of religious education at our church. You know, we decided to take this on because really we love our home. We hate our politics and we feel like something needs to change and people have to stand up.
Now, you're like an entrepreneur, right?
Right.
And what exactly is your business? And you're CEO of Alter Global?
Yeah. So Alter, so here's the work I was doing in Afghanistan. A militia commander looked me in the eye and he said, you see these young men over here? They have no jobs or opportunity. If you can help us solve that problem, we'll have more peace here. And I was down in Haiti after the earthquake and all these young kids would say, give me something good. And I realized, you know, handouts are not creating solutions, long-term solutions. We need to create jobs and grow the economy. And so I decided to take this on. I went back to business school after Afghanistan, out at Stanford. And I ended up saying, all right, I'm going to go try to create jobs around the world. And so we find entrepreneurs with ideas. If you've seen the show Shark Tank, then you know what I'm talking about. We find these early stage entrepreneurs and we help them grow their businesses. We give them the expertise, the investments to grow their companies. And we've had some really good success doing it. And I look at south side of Chicago or downstate Illinois here where we need to create jobs in the industries of the future. And that's what I feel well prepared to do.
Robert, you got a question?
I was going to ask. So you were just talking about the politics, that you don't like the politics in Illinois.
I hate them.
I mean, it's been run by Democrats forever. I mean, at least Michael Madigan's gone now. But what is it specifically you're saying, I don't like the politics? What specifically are you talking about you don't like?
Well, one is I hate the outcomes and the results. I mean, you look at 120,000 people that moved out of the state over the last year alone because we have ridiculously high taxes. It's always tax people more, spend more through the government, and don't even get anything good for it. No good outcomes. And I also hate the value side. I'm a downstate central Illinois guy. I've always felt like a one-size-fits-all Chicago dominating the entire state. That doesn't work. And you look right now at the current governor and the values he holds. I mean, you look, say, abortion. I mean, we are a Midwestern backbone of the nation, good Midwestern values. We've gone so far left to where it's late-term partial birth abortions, taxpayer-funded, with no parental notification for minors. That is ridiculous. We're becoming the abortion destination capital of the Midwest. That does not fit with my values that I was born, raised with, that I hold right now. My Christian faith drives everything, and it seems like we've gotten so far away from those Christian values in our government.
So you bring up a lot of those things right there, but aren't a lot of those things what Chicago wants? I mean, you're talking about the vast majority of the population of Illinois, and it seems like that's the kind of stuff that they want. So how do you win? How do you get your message across when it seems like Chicago wants more abortions and more, well, frankly, anti-faith type of policies?
Yeah, I feel like I can truly be a bridge candidate. I was, you know, like I said, born and raised, live, you know, here, raising my family on a farm. And I understand that downstate perspective. But I also have been doing this work around the world where we've gotten to working on creating jobs and industries of the future. My wife is Hispanic. You know, my kids are. I have a black foster daughter. We're a diverse state, but we're a diverse family. And that's a beautiful thing. And yo puedo hablar en español. And I think up, especially around Chicago, like you find these hardworking people of faith with these conservative values, but they've been voting Democrat for so long. And, you know, as Donald Trump said, it's like, what have they done for you? What have they gotten? And I think this message actually can resonate now in a really unique way. If people are willing to head into those communities like we are and say, you actually hold more conservative values, but no one's shown up for you. And there's been a lie that's been perpetrated that says, we care about you the most. The Democrats say that. But let's look at their policies and what outcomes they're getting. Just even look at school choice. 70-some% of minorities, you know, you say, hey, look right here. Do you want to send your kid to this underperforming government school? Or do you want to have an option to send them to a better school? That argument alone, that's a conservative argument. That's one we believe in. Free choice, choice of schools. And that's going to be a winning argument in those communities.
Yeah, I always say that. I'm like, you're a conservative. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's what I say all of the time. A lot of people do hold those conservative values because they just make for a better life. Now, you did say that you would be the candidate that would be able to get those Chicago votes. And because you've worked around the world, and I do kind of want to get into that, where you have, and you can go to IllinoisSunshine.org, and you have some donors, big donors, that people are concerned about. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our listeners, they are in tuned, and they're like, well, he's a Democrat. He interned, and I think there was even something out there that said that you were a possible pick for VP when it came to President Joe Biden. Now, was that information, or...
it's a lot of disinformation, a lot of misinformation and lies. So I actually really appreciate the part that I get to go and share the truth on this, because I'm a political outsider. And this is another reason I hate our politics. So much lies and misinformation out there from these political operatives on both sides of the aisle. And it's because I pose a threat to that system. So let me, you know, and I'm a skeptical voter. I am a skeptical Republican voter who says I've been sold a bill of goods from people saying one thing and doing another. Well, my life is my message. Whether it comes to the pro-life side, I don't have a voting record. But my wife and I are foster parents because we want to live these values, not just talk about them. Capitalism. I've gone to Cuba and tried to bring capitalism to Cuba, these socialist countries. I've lived these values. And when you talk about like being a business guy, so let's talk about this on the donor side. So Chris Larson, one of the donors to me, we had formed a relationship by going and trying to invest in companies around the world. He's a really smart business guy. Well, he's backed people on both sides of the aisle. So a lot of people cherry pick this list of all the Democrats that he supported. Well, just like Donald Trump, he supported people on both sides of the aisle. So unless you think Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, is a Democrat, he's also given to Tom Cotton and other good conservatives. So he saw me, my conservative values, and he said he was willing to support me in the work that I'm doing. And so you get these crazy stuff. Like, that's the first time I've heard the whole VP of Biden's whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's craziness. And I'm a conservative. I'm a fiscal, social, constitutional conservative. I believe all of our rights flow from God, not from man. And we have to push back whenever they try to restrict and take away those rights from us. Pro First Amendment, pro Second Amendment. Grew up hunting with my grandpa. I have an M9 Beretta, the same model of weapon I carried over in Afghanistan to protect my family. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-small business. I'm pro-police. Like, you name the area. I am a conservative guy. But I need to shake people's hand, look them in the eye so they get to see that, because I don't trust our politicians either. And so I like that our Republican voters are skeptical of any politician who says otherwise.
We got to get a quick break here, Jesse. We're going to come back after the break, though. And so you're against high taxes. You're against you want to tackle high crime in the state, particularly Chicago area and everything like this. But how are you going to work with the legislature to get stuff done. We'll talk about that coming up next. Thanks.
Great.
So, but the taxes aren't just on the governor. It's the legislature and their budget that they're doing. What can you do? What will you do to work with the legislature to try to get the taxing down, maybe get the spending down?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And so what I've said is coming in as governor, you can really, day one, you can do executive orders. I mean, end the mandates, vaccine, mask mandates, those are ridiculous. Step in on day one and do it. Also, our education system, 2/3 of our kids not reaching grade level standards in math, science, English. At the same time, like, we're teaching indoctrination to our kids, and in second grade, pronouns, you know, and things like that. We've got to move away from all of that stuff, which means the governor does. Illinois State Board of Education, we'd be cleaning house. And then you look at Prison Review Board, other areas you can clean house. Also, running agencies well. You don't need new legislation to run agencies well. We were just talking about foster care. And, you know, I've seen that system up close and personal. And it's broken. 20,000 of our most vulnerable kids, that it's almost criminal how poor that agency is run. We could reduce the size of government through all of these agencies by just getting better outcomes and running them well. All of that happens before legislation. Then when you come to legislation, it's like, let's focus in on the few areas that matter most to the people of the state of Illinois. And we look at our unfunded pension liabilities, and we got to take that head on. And the current governor just looks the other way, kicks the can down the road. It's the power of certain unions that have gotten too strong in their relationship with the governor. And he does not take on the fight. And we need to take on the fight to say we have to fix our pensions if we're going to get back to fiscal health in the state of Illinois.
So one of the things that he's actually touting is that he's the first governor in decades and decades that has actually started to get the fiscal house in order.
Yeah.
What would you say to that?
That you run to the federal government with your hand out. With your hands out, you know, and get this COVID money, and you pretend like you've solved any underlying fiscal challenges. You have not. It's all politics and it's political math. And the people of Illinois know it. Like, they know that he can run, try to buy the election, run commercials on what a great job he's done. People are voting with their feet. We said 120,000 people of my neighbors left the state of Illinois last year. I travel around the state. Everyone says, you see that? That's the land of the free over there. They're all leaving to states like Florida and Texas. We want to look more like Florida and Texas, not like New York and California. And those are zero income tax states. We got to move towards having a more competitive taxation system, which means we need to quit spending so much money. And we have to move towards lowering our taxes, have a commitment to growth in the state of Illinois.
So one of the things a couple of things that you've been bringing up, bringing down taxes, controlling the spending, as well as addressing crime. And you just kind of brought up educational standards, like and having better options for educational choice and everything. Well, frankly, these are a lot of the platforms that Bruce Rauner ran on as a Republican. And when he got in office, everyone went, well, that was a waste. And he only had one term because it was such a disaster. So a lot of people I talk to that are Republicans no longer trust Republicans to run and do what they said they're going to do.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
I feel the same way, to be honest. I feel like the whole system is broken. It's a bunch of corruption. I say it's on the Democrat side, but unfortunately it's on the Republican side too. They just have less power in the system. They're weaker in the system. So we actually need to, this is why I'm a political outsider. I owe nobody anything. And I am going to take on this corruption that exists on both sides. And we just put out our own ethics reform package, the strongest in the history of the state of Illinois. We got endorsed by Carol Pope, the legislative inspector general, who quit because she said, this is a paper tiger job. I can't actually enact ethics reform here in the state of Illinois. And so she endorsed us because I'm an outsider. I'm going to take on the system. If you are a corrupt legislator, lobbyist, or special interest in the state of Illinois, your days are numbered. I'm going to take this on wholeheartedly, and we're going to change the system in Illinois.
Now, I have one question about California, right? Yeah. So you had mentioned that you were out in California. So what exactly did you do out there? Did you work in political offices or with congressmen, with the senators in California and for Democrats, frankly?
Yeah, no, I did not. I actually came back from Afghanistan, realized we need to fix our economy and grow job and create jobs. So I went to Stanford Business School for 2 years. After I finished up Stanford Business School, I actually moved back home to where I was born and raised in Petersburg, Illinois. So that was over about 6 years ago. So I've been back with my family, raising my kids the way I was raised and running this business really with a distributed team around the world until I realized, man, you know, I love Illinois so much and all these problems I'm trying to solve around the world, freedom, democracy, capitalism, all of those things are under attack right here at home. And I prayed about it and I said, what's my obligation to my home? I need to step in and try to fix this. So California and all this is just such bogus misinformation and lies that I came back from California to run for governor. Well, I went out there for 2 years, over 6 years ago, to go get a business degree.
Okay. So what would be your position against, say, a candidate like Darren Bailey? Right, who has gone out there and who has sued the governor and who, what would be so bad about backing a candidate like him with all of your expertise, your capitalism venture, what would be so bad about backing him rather than running for yourself?
Yeah, well, here's how I view it if I'm a voter. I'm asking myself three questions. Does this person share my values? Can this person win? And can this person lead on the things that are most needed in our state? Number one, does this person share my values? I'm a conservative. I'm a fiscal, social, constitutional conservative. There's lies, misinformation, whisper networks out there about me, which means that I pose a threat to that whole system. So are you a conservative? I think all Republican primary voters, they should be asking themselves that question and distrustful of people's responses, because that is honestly what we faced in Illinois, like you guys have alluded to. Number two is to say, can this person win? I don't want four more years of J.B. Pritzker. And we need to put forward a candidate who can actually win up around Chicago. The person who co-sponsored legislation to separate Chicago from downstate Illinois, is that the person who we think is actually going to be able to unite the state and win over independents and moderate Democrats up around Chicago? I don't believe so. I put together a team, Glenn Youngkin's team from Virginia, after they won that victory out there, they looked around and said, where can we do this again? We can do this in Illinois. We've put together that team. And lastly is, can this person lead on the areas that we need most? My background, I don't just want to tear things down. I want to rebuild them in the state of Illinois. I have the skill set to bring the industries and the jobs of the future to Illinois so we don't have to visit our kids and grandkids on an airplane. I know how to build the industries of the future in Illinois and be pro-business. Also, when it comes to safety, I have this counterinsurgency background. As a civilian intelligence analyst in Afghanistan, we're setting up local police units over there. I to my core, understand what it means to protect and serve. And we are going to back our law enforcement, be the most pro-law enforcement state in the nation, and actually get safety back to our streets in the state of Illinois. And I'm a parent. Who's representing young families in the state of Illinois? My wife and I have five children. I care about what's being taught in our schools. And our lieutenant governor pick, Kathleen Murphy, she's awesome. Another parent, another outsider who's going to step in and change things in this state.
So you can go to jessesullivan.com to get more information about him, his priorities, his the goals that he's wanted to do. And everything like that. But also, we got an event later today. Kat, why don't you give them an update on where Jesse's going
to
be?
Yep. So Jesse is going to be headed out to the BN Share Space. That's the McLean County Chamber of Commerce BN Share Space right there on Empire Street from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our meet and greet. And you can ask him all of the questions there. We didn't get to all of our questions. We could probably talk to Jesse all day. He's a very interesting candidate and a very nice guy. Hey, it's the Morning Rush with Robert and Kat, so head on out to the BN Share Space at 10 a.m. today for Jesse Sullivan Meet and Greet.